Today, if you could open your Bibles to Romans chapter 2, we're going to be taking a look at verses 17 through 29. And I titled this, What is the Condition of Your Heart? We saw in chapter 1, Paul dealing with the Gentiles. Said in verse 18, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuses. They had that natural revelation of God in creation where they could see his handiwork. So they were without excuse. And then we saw Paul dealing both with the Gentiles and the Jews. In chapter 2, in verse 11, he wrote, For there is no partiality with God. For as many have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and as many have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. God, the righteous judge, Jew and Gentile. But now we're going to see Paul dealing mostly with the Jews, especially those who think they're all that and more. If you've ever been on YouTube, you'll see these little video clips of what they call, not to be anything against Karen, but they call them Karens. And it's a name given to someone who is self-righteous and arrogant. And today, I think Paul is speaking to the Jews mainly here that are self-righteous and arrogant. So let's read a portion of this passage, verses 17 through 29. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God, and know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and the truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your heart, or excuse me, your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law, but if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who, even with your written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, Father, again to take a look at your word. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for this time that we can just worship you freely, Father. And Lord, as we look at your word today, I would ask that you look into our hearts, Father, that our hearts would be open to you, that we would check our hearts. Lord, we thank you for everything that you do. We thank you for the families you've brought together here today and that you've given us to be just examples of your son's love to them. Help us to do that, Father. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Indeed, you are called a Jew, and rest on the law and make your boast in God. Now the Jews, a peculiar people, separated and distinguished from all others by having the written law. And that history of that special presence of God with them when they left Egypt, the 40 years in the desert. They're called Jews, basically that term coming from the term Judah, which means praised. So here they were set apart to be praised, a praised people because of their obedience to the law and to the true and living God. And they rested in the law. So they took pride in this. They had the law among them, had it in their books. They read it in their synagogues, probably thinking that, hey, this is enough to bring us to heaven. Though they did not live up to the law, showing their pride in resting on the law and not being doers of the law and setting the example for the Gentiles. So they rested in the law with that rest of pride. They were lazy. Thus, God could not use them for their full potential as an example to the Gentiles. The Jews depended on leaning on their own righteousness through keeping the law and boasting to God. Paul depended on God's righteousness and leaning on Jesus, trusting in him. The non-believing Jews yoked with the law and in a lot of traditions also. So recall when that centurion asked Jesus to heal his servant and Jesus was going to go to his house to help, and the centurion told Jesus, you don't need to. I'm not worthy to have you come here. And after the centurion explained that to him, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, the east and the west, the Gentiles. And he went on to say, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Possibly a warning to the Jews that they were unable to keep the law, showing that those whose hearts were right and received Christ as their Lord and Savior would sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. And then they boasted of God. There is a right boasting of God when men attribute all the blessings of nature and grace to the Lord alone, praising him in all things for all things. When you sit down for a meal, do you give him praise and thanks? Do you thank him for the farmers that produce it, the people who manufacture everything, put it together so that you can have it at your table, for our sustenance, the things he's blessed us with? A rightful boasting to God, praising him, glorifying him. But the boasting here probably spoken of was boasting in their own faithfulness. Look what I did for God. I kept the law and I'm circumcised. Not from the heart. In verse 18, he went on and said, and know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law. They knew his declared will in the law, showing what is to be done and what is not to be done. They did not only know the truth of God, but the will of God, that which he would have them do. They knew the excellency of the law. In Leviticus chapter 19, starting at verse 17, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And Jesus also brought out this most excellent part of the law when he talked with that lawyer in Luke chapter 10. And it says in verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Approving the things of excellence. So they were to test or try the things that differ from one another and bounce it off the will and law of God. Then after being tried and discerned, they were to approve it in their judgment of the things more excellent. Paul actually mentioned this in his letter to the Philippians, Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 7, he said, "Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." The excellency of the law, the excellency they have. Love. Does not love cover an abundance of sins? In verse 19, he goes on, "And are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness." They thought themselves guides to the poor blind Gentiles that sat in darkness. Probably very proud of this. That whoever would have the knowledge of God must be grateful to them for it, because they gave it to him. They shared it with him. And when you think about it, all the other nations had to come to them to learn what is good and what the Lord requires, for they had all the oracles. Thus, they were a light to the Gentiles, as they had the law and circumcision. Though now Jesus' followers are that light, we are that light now. A light of them that are in darkness. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." Jesus also said in John 5, talking about John the Baptist, he says in verse 32, "There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time rejoice in his light," the light of repentance and turning from sin. In verse 20, it says, "An instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples?" Now you think about those. Those who teach are constantly learning and teaching themselves. I am constantly learning as I teach. There are teachers that come to this church in our congregation who teach